that shaping process, we had to hold back parts of ourselves. We had to hold in parts of ourselves. We had to hold up parts of ourselves. All of this shaped our body. And then we had a result 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later. And we start to be able to go back in and explore these.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I'm just thrilled to bring you another episode. Oh, my gosh. We have an amazing show tonight. I want to jump right into it because I want to have a ton of time, because I actually had an experience with our guest that is beyond words. That's, I'm just going to tease you with that. Let me introduce you to her, and then we'll get right into what she does, because it's pretty amazing. Our guest tonight is Jennifer Prima McKeever, and she is a body-oriented therapist and educator who combines more than 20 years of experience in Eastern medicine, meditation, emotional release work, and body-mind therapies. While treating thousands of patients as a doctor of Chinese medicine, Prima, and what all of her friends call her, how vital our emotional health is for physical well-being. Searching for the best solution for her client, she spent years in advanced training in both the Eastern and Western approaches of trauma healing. She is a somatic experiencing practitioner and an expert facilitator in biodynamic breath and trauma release system. And those are unique approaches to release trauma from our nervous system and restoring health and vitality. And it is amazing. Those are the experiences I went through with her a couple of months ago. And after it, I said, you got to be on the show and share it, because I thought the release and the experience were profound. And if you've been following the show for a while, you know that I have found that trauma is a major problem that we hold within our body and that can exacerbate autoimmune conditions. If you're curious about that, check out the different shows we've had with Sarah Payton, as well as Dr. David Clark. They go into real depth about the why of that. But we're going to have talk to Prima right now. Thank you for being on the show. This is so awesome that we snagged you away for a little bit.
Thank you, Sharon. I'm really happy to be here. It's great to talk with you today.
I met her in Michigan, where she was giving an event. I entered into the event not really knowing what was going to happen. And those are, I think, sometimes the best kind of events, because it totally frees you to just the experience. Let's talk a little bit first about what is trauma, and then we'll go with how does breath work with trauma?
Okay, that's a great question. You know, I think there's a misconception often that trauma is something like a car accident, or, you know, we fall off our bike, or we fall off a ladder, or an assault, something like that. But trauma really is anything that happens to us that is too much, too fast, that our nervous system cannot adequately process. And as a result, the charge of it, that sympathetic nervous system activation, or the dorsal nervous part of the branch of the nervous system, that freeze gets stuck in our system. So with trauma, we have both often the sympathetic charge, all that adrenaline, cortisol that our body releases, as well as the freeze that comes in from the dorsal vagal branch of our autonomic nervous system. And so trauma really can be anything from stress that we undergo a lot as children. Maybe we grew up in a household where our needs were not adequately met. You know, it could be a parent was really busy, they weren't available, the child often felt isolated. Perhaps it was, you know, what unfortunately happens way too common today, bullying that happens at school or out in the neighborhood. And of course, it can be all those physical types of trauma we've heard about before as well. The common denominator is that our nervous system undergoes tremendous amount of stress and activation and then doesn't have a way to process that out and let it release from the body. And that processing out and letting it release from the body is what we do with biodynamic breath work and trauma release.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And just for a little overview here, when we talk about the word freeze, that comes from the concept of fight, flight, or freeze. Oftentimes we hear fight or flight. We don't hear that third part of it. There's a freeze part that happens.
Yeah. And that freeze part is a huge part of trauma, because if we're able to successfully move through the traumatic event, if we are able to escape, if we are able to successfully fight and defend ourselves, there's no reason to freeze, and there's usually much less occurrence of impact after the event, less of a traumatic stress impact upon us. It's when we are unable, if we're too small, if we're a child and we can't leave home, if something is happening to us and we can't leave, we can't fight, our body goes into a freeze response. And that freeze response can be anything from a mild dissociation, kind of a numbing out, to as far as actually fainting and passing out. There's a range within, there's a continuum within that freeze response. And the thing is, we don't get to choose that response. Our nervous system will automatically choose whatever response it thinks will help us most likely survive the event. And for many of us, if surviving that event meant that we kind of numbed our feelings, we dissociated a little bit, our body was there, but we weren't there, well, that's what was seen as the best possible way to get through a really difficult time.
And you know what's other common things is other physical symptoms are often seen in what they call, sometimes you can get a sudden attack of diarrhea, or a common problem is maybe holding it in and having constipation, stomach pains and stomach cramps. So it doesn't have to be just some of the things that you might consider as emotional, such as dissociation. It actually can appear in within your body as well, or singularly.
Absolutely, because the freeze response is mediated by the dorsal branch of our vagus nerve. And that dorsal branch of our vagus nerve innervates our entire abdominal organs. It's going into our digestive system. It's moving throughout our abdominal cavity and innervating many different of the organs down there. And it's sending most of its information from our belly area back up to our brain. And then some information goes from our brain back down to our belly through that vagus nerve. But the digestive impact is profound. All sorts of autoimmune diseases, as you know, have a digestive component to them. And the fact that our vagus nerve, that dorsal branch is in charge of the freeze, moves through our entire digestive system. Exactly as you're saying, moving into that freeze state has a profound effect on our internal organs.
So if you're thinking, oh, well, you know, I haven't had trauma, sometimes we tend to bury trauma, especially if it's the kind that you're saying, more of a freeze where it wasn't where we could run and hide, or we had to escape, or a sudden car accident. But perhaps the ongoing kinds of traumas, the bullying, the belittling, the maybe even the stares or what have you, those kinds of things impact us greatly, that oftentimes others, as well as ourselves, tend to diminish at the time of impact.
Absolutely. A child grows up thinking it's normal for the parents to be not really attuned to their needs. And it happens more and more. I mean, both parents are working. It's not like they're trying to somehow be neglectful to their children. But in so many cases, people grow up without really feeling that kind of connection and bonding they need with their caretakers. So it doesn't even have to be overt acts of hostility. It doesn't have to be overt acts of neglect. It can just be a chronic, consistent misattunement to our needs and not feeling that we're really being properly seen or held or nurtured within our home life growing up. It doesn't have to be physical abuse involved at all for there to be an underlying impact on our nervous system causing this dysregulation that it can affect us for years and years and well on into adulthood.
One of the things that I found profound during our event was, I'm aware of many of them. I've done a lot of different types of therapies and works to process everything. I mean, I don't think anybody gets out of their child in early adulthood unscathed. So I'm aware of many of my triggers that were triggers and things that had happened that I've processed through. However, when we started doing our experience, there were things that I thought I had processed that came up, as well as things that I guess I had just pushed down so far I didn't remember. Let's talk about what breath work is, and then we'll get into the kinds of things that people might experience.
Yeah. You know, the Western tradition of breath work really owes a debt to the work of Dr. Wilhelm Reich. And he said that one of the things he said is that you don't actually have to take a client's history. It walks into the room with them, meaning that our history is really in our bodies. It's stored in our bodies. And exactly what you just said there, it's stored often in layers of suppression. You know, if you think about it, when we're stressed out, one of the things that we do is our breathing gets shallow. We get kind of tight in our neck, tight in our shoulders, tight in our back. Perhaps you see I'm a little hunched over right here. A lot of tension forms in our body. Well, a child does the same thing. If a child has the impulse to cry, if something's really hurting and they want to cry, and crying is one of the ways our body naturally processes high emotional intensity situations. It's one of the ways that our body releases stress hormones through our tears. It's one of the ways that we are able to discharge some of the pain and sorrow and grief inside of us that we may be experiencing. So let's say a child has the impulse to cry, but the message in their family system is very much, don't cry. Or you cry, I'll give you something to cry about. You know, whatever the message may be. If that child wants to hold back their tears, what are they going to do? They're going to tighten up their belly. They're going to restrict their breathing. Breath is related to our expression of emotions. The more we're able to breathe, the more we're able to deeply breathe, the more we're able to get in contact with our feelings, and then we open up the space with our breath for those feelings then to finally be able to move through and out of us. As children, we tend to, instead of letting things move through and out of us, we hold it in. We hold it in if there's not enough support in the environment to really help us process it. I mean, it's a big deal to be a child. It's not easy. And
it's not easy to be an adult either.
No, it's not, is it? It's not. But in childhood, there's so much helplessness and the need for the support of the big people around them. And if it's not there, the child will often blame themselves. You know, it's too much to look out into the family structure and see, wow, mommy and daddy are gone all the time, or there isn't what I need here. And instead of blaming mommy and daddy, often the child will turn that blame on themselves, and they'll start feeling like somehow something's not right with them. And they take on a lot of shame around that as well. So all of these intense feelings get lodged in our body. They get lodged in layers of tightness and tension and contraction, not only in our actual breathing muscles, our chest muscles and our diaphragm, but also in the core muscles of our belly. We store a lot of feelings in our stomach and the area of our digestive tract, like we were just talking about, and in the fascia that surrounds all the different muscles in our body as well. So in biodynamic breath work and trauma release, we use breath, we use touch, we use movement and sound to help bring about a gentle emotional release. So these areas of core contraction, of core tension, can start to unwind. And the stuff that's been there for so long now has a safe, supportive environment in which it can start to move out of our bodies.
That's a great explanation. And I'm going to let you guys ponder all of that, because that's fascinating. We'll take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Tipperma about breath work and why it's so important for us to begin to work through our breath and understand how it physically helps the body. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenil.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we're talking to Jennifer Prim of McKeever, and she is a body-oriented therapist and educator that combines over 2 decades of experience in Eastern medicine, meditation, emotional release work, and mind-body therapies. And we like to call her Prima here, so that's what you're going to be hearing instead of her full name. And Prima, this has been awesome. The description of what happens to our bodies when we hold trauma, when we swallow it, I'll say. Years ago, I had a doctor tell me one time when I started to have what I would call some stomach issues, she said, and it didn't make sense until lately, she says, if you'd quit swallowing your problems, you'd be fine.
Oh, and a medical doctor said that to you?
Yes. Yes.
Wow, that's pretty advanced.
And seeing it was a couple of decades ago, absolutely. It was pretty advanced, but also so far out of left field, I had no idea what it meant. Now I can see the wisdom in it and understanding how the body holds what happens to us, our feelings, and holds what goes on in our nervous system is all part of this whole amazing system.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit more about the breath work and how what the experience is like when we do an experience? What do we call it? What we do with it when we're in your classes? When we do a class, I guess.
Sure. Yes. Yes. No, that's a great question. So in the biodynamic breathwork and trauma release system, we have 7-day and 5-day groups where people come for that period of time, and they can either be coming just for their own personal exploration, their own personal healing, or they may be coming because they want to learn how to use this modality to work with others. And each day of our programs, we work through in a very sequential way a part of our body. And that's because our body is divided. There's many different ways to divide it, but the way we divide it is through what we call the 7 belts of tension. And that was originally laid out by Wilhelm Reich. And the 7 belts roughly correspond to the chakra system. So you have the belt, you know, around your eyes and around your mouth and nose and throat and chest and belly and pelvis and so forth. And we work systematically from the top of our heads to the bottom of our body, releasing the core tension that's held in the fascia and the muscles in each of those layers. And with that becomes, obviously, like you were saying, memories of past events sometimes, the emotions are able to flow, and we loosen up the tightly held bracing, the chronic patterns of bracing that our muscles developed over years as a way to defend ourselves. You know, if you think about it, our core in particular, our core muscles are really undefended. There's no hard bony structures around them. It's a particular, our belly is a particularly vulnerable area of our body. And one of the ways that our body then works to protect this vulnerability is by tightening up. It's a very natural reaction. And the problem is it's meant to tighten up for a short period of time and then be able to relax again. But when we have ongoing chronic stress or ongoing trauma or unresolved trauma, that tightening continues and continues and continues and continues. And who wants to live in a body like that? If you could live in a body that had freedom of movement and flow of energy and access to feelings, that's going to be a much healthier space to live in, a much healthier container to live in than in that chronically contracted, braced, tight space.
You know what I found fascinating is I was aware of some of my tight spaces. I was like, okay, I am always sort of stretching my neck up. I'm aware I tend to turtle in certain situations. But what surprised me was the number of places I wasn't aware of, meaning as the process unwound and towards the end, you have that time you can reflect. You're like, I didn't even know I was doing that. And that was what surprised me so much. I actually felt taller too.
Yes. And yes, because as we release the tension in the body, there is this natural elongation of our spine that happens. And it's like a fish in water. Does a fish know they're in water? Of course not. It's just the environment they're in. A lot of these patterns in our body develop by the age of 5, sometimes 7. So I should back up a little bit. See, in biodynamic breathwork and trauma release, we work not just with what we could call shock trauma. We do definitely work with things like accidents and one-time events. But we also work a lot with the things that happened to us as we were growing up that were core pieces of our personality coming together. And those are what we could call those relational trauma or developmental disruptions, if you'd like. And so we work with both of those. We work with shock events, completing that fight-flight response that is so important. If you want to successfully move the freeze out of your body from a shock trauma event, being able to complete that running or complete that fight, complete that impulse, we do work with that. And then, we also work with these events that many of us don't have any memory of. We don't know what it is. It was just the environment we grew up in, and we shaped ourselves to match our environment. And then in that shaping process, we had to hold back parts of ourselves. We had to hold in parts of ourselves. We had to hold up parts of ourselves. All of this shaped our body. And then we had the result 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later. And we start to be able to go back in and explore these, and we do it in breath work, and we do it through movement, and we do it through meditation. There's many ways in our groups and trainings that we do this, but we start to unwind these patterns and come into a much fuller sense of who we are underneath all of this. We get really in contact with our natural expression of our energy and who we want and what our life is really about and what's really important to us underneath the contraction of our body and our mind-body structure. I hope that makes sense.
It does. And I have to be careful because I've experienced it that I make sure that people are understanding the depth and breadth of this process and how transformative it is. Can you share with us maybe, obviously not names or anything, but maybe just a story or two that could give us an idea of the kinds of transformations you've seen?
Absolutely. I lead a lot of groups and I also see clients privately in my home in Vancouver. Would you like a story that's more about a childhood pattern, or would you like something more about like an event that got resolved?
Well, let's do a childhood pattern. I think that one was, at least from my personal experience, the most surprising.
So there is a, a, a client who I've worked with quite a bit over the years, and she started coming into me originally because she had chronic PTSD. She was on disability at the time, unable to work and not really that functional in her life. And of course, you can imagine in a case like that, there are lots of different issues that need to be worked on. But one of the key ones is that she had such a sense of isolation in herself. Her father had a variety of mental illnesses and was not around much when she was growing up. And her mother was very stressed out, very overwhelmed, and basically was able to get food on the table, but not provide any nurturing at all, unfortunately. And so one of the ways that impacted my client, and I'll call her Sandy, one of the ways that impacted Sandy is that she often felt extremely isolated, very lonely, and she could not reach out. She could not reach out and actually believe or feel that another human being could be there with her, that could actually meet her and contact her. And that showed up in her body as a lot of tension in her shoulders. Her shoulders were very locked and down. Like her arms literally had developed a pattern of not reaching out. And for those who are listening right now, I'm moving my arm out so you can see those muscles that we use to reach out and take in from the world and nourish ourselves and reach out for connection and be able to connect with others. Those were very contracted in her body. And during the breathwork sessions, we were working together weekly. During the breathwork sessions, there would be lots of shaking and trembling in her legs as we were discharging different layers of stress in her body, because not only did she have stress from her childhood, but from adulthood as well. There was a lot of movement happening in her legs and even into her belly, but her arms and her chest and her heart space completely immobile, no movement at all. And so we started working with the arms, having her slowly start to practice as she was breathing, reaching out little bits, and through touch, working to soften the contraction that's there in her around her heart space and around her arms, softening that bracing, that holding back pattern through touch and through different types of exercises that we do during breath sessions to help people move out of these patterns. Our breath session ended and she felt very different. She was softer, her face softened, her eyes were soft. And we sat together just kind of quietly and little tears were coming down. And coincidentally, after our session that day, she had plans to go see her mother and her grandmother. And so she sent me an email the next day saying, I was sitting with my mother and my grandmother, and I've got to tell you, for the first time in my life ever, I felt like I wanted to reach out to them, and I did, and I took hold of their hands, and I just held their hands for our whole time together, and I never imagined something like that could feel so good.
Wow.
Yeah, and after that, that was a turning point in her life. She's now in a long-term relationship. She's gone back to work. She's developed friendships. So I want to stress that this was not a one-time session. This is somebody who I was working with over a period of time, building up trust and rapport, because we had to create a big sense of safety that she could even go into these scary places. Because to her, to reach out was terrifying, and there was all this armoring in her body to prevent doing something risky like reaching out and not being met and then being hurt or devastated. So this was a part of our work that happened over a period of time.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad you bring that up because it's a process. Like everything in our healing journey, it's a process. And just to slow down and enjoy the process.
Absolutely. Healing is not linear. It's layers. We move through layers. It can often feel like we're repeating stuff that we did years ago, which gets frustrating at times, of course. But it is the process. It is not, I don't think there is a finish line personally. I haven't found it for myself yet.
Well, we'll take that as a finish line for our last commercial break of the session. We'll take a commercial break here. I think this is a great place just to process what we've heard, and we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at PinkyChenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Jennifer Prima McKeever. All of us call her Prima in our world here. We just adore her. She is amazing, as you've been hearing, to bring transformation from trauma. It's totally fascinating to me. And as I mentioned in the beginning, how I've had other trauma experts on, and that opened this gateway for me to understand how trauma and holding trauma in our body allows autoimmune to take hold. Now, all my research shows that trauma doesn't cause autoimmune, but I'm sure there's still plenty of research to figure that out, if that's the case or not. But I can tell you from personal experience, once I started to uncover my trauma and release my trauma, my healing accelerated exponentially. I was really surprised. And one of the things I was surprised about, as Prima was sort of alluding to in a bit about how we hold things, for me, there was always little clues. And I sometimes hear it from other people when they say, oh, so-and-so in my life is a pain in the neck, or that event was a pain in my rear. And it was almost as if when I was going through the process with Prima, some of those came up and I went, now I know.
Yes. I mean, just think, even in our language, we say something's tying us up in knots. It's all that is signs of like tension. It hit us in the gut. You know, there's so many things in our language pointing to stress having this hard effect on our body.
So Prima, I'm curious about something. If right now in the world, and we're going, okay, I can tell I'm starting to freeze in this situation. I'm starting to feel like this could not be so fun emotionally. Are there things that we can do to help us process it so it doesn't become lodged and a problem later on?
Yes, yes. First off, our body often in stressful situations does have the natural inclination to slightly tremble or shake. All mammals do. We get this surge of adrenaline, of the stress hormones. And one of the ways our body discharges that excess hormonal activity is by a shaking or trembling that we're not actually doing it. I don't know if you ever watched a scary movie and noticed yourself shaking in the seats as you're watching it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so that we get conditioned out of that shaking. We get conditioned out of that trembling, but we want to allow space for it. We want to allow space for our feelings, talking to a friend, letting ourselves cry, going for a long walk, lying on the floor for a while and just letting ourselves breathe and fill our bellies up with air in our chest and letting the breath just come in and out through a nice, open, relaxed mouth while feeling the support of the floor, trusting the impulses of whatever it is our body is telling us that it needs in that moment. It's the tightening itself is not a problem. That's a natural part of our defense system. We're meant to have defenses. You know, anger is not a problem. We're meant to have healthy anger. We're meant to have healthy defenses. The problem is that when we don't let it express and move out, that we try to clamp it down instead of letting it move out, or we get stuck into a pattern of shame, which is also a big reason why we go into freeze. We often in conflict or feeling like we might be making a mistake somewhere, we go into shame and self-blame, and that puts us into a cycle of freeze as well. So in all the situations, I support letting the body move. It could be through dance, breath, yoga, exercise, any of those types of activities, tuning in and giving us an outlet for our emotions and letting it, that move out of our system instead of getting held in place. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. It does. And I'm glad we brought that up, because oftentimes we do try to clamp down or, you know, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, or big people don't cry or what have you. We're here to say, yes, they do. Yes.
Yeah. We're not perfect. We live in a culture that somehow has this myth of perfection and that we're all not supposed to have problems or stress. And we do. We're meant to be able to connect with other people and have other people be there to support us. We're meant to be in a place where we can feel safe and connected to the earth. We're meant to be in an environment where we are not working 8, 10, 12 hours a day along with, you know, family stress and everything else. We live in a society, unfortunately, that generates more stress and trauma than most of us can handle, because we live in a very unnatural way right now. And we need to really be sensitive to our bodies and sensitive to our needs. We live in a culture that for some reason doesn't like the idea of us having needs. Guess what? We all have needs. we need people. We need help. We need support. We're meant to be that way.
Yes, we are community tribal animals.
Yes.
People need to understand that. Speaking of that, you brought up this something that I wanted to touch on, see what you have to say about it. If we see someone else experiencing that trauma, have you found ways that are best to support them through that so we don't create shame or we don't create guilt in maybe our misguided attempts to make them feel better? So many times I've seen somebody say, you know, oh, shake it off or whatever. And that's not helpful.
That's not helpful in the slightest. And I think that really comes out of our own discomfort with our own pain or other people's pain. People don't, when I say we need support, we need others, we don't need people to fix us. Nobody wants to be a to-do project or a fixer-up project. But we can let people know that, for instance, you know, I understand what you're saying. What you're experiencing right now is totally normal. I'm here if you want someone to talk to. I'm here for a hug. You know, I'm here to be with you. Not fixing, not trying to offer advice or solutions, but rather providing, I think, a safe space for those around us to come and share and be able to express what's really going on for them without having to hold up a mask of perfection, a mask of I somehow got it all figured out.
Which social media is so good at making us feel like we're not. I always say, go on a social media news diet, please.
Please, yes, get off for a while. Yes, get off the social media for a while. All of those things that give you all the feelings that, oh, my life is not as good as everybody else.
Right, exactly. Now, I wanted to reflect back on it, something you just said. I recently read a study, and it was on grief and what we can do as friends of someone who is going through profound grief. And I love that its common denominator in the research was, as you pointed out so beautifully, was acknowledgement, just acknowledgement of, yes, this must be painful. This must be awful. This, and not getting down in the hole with them and trying to shove them out of the hole, or getting yourself stuck into your own form of grief or whatever. I thought it was so profound in its simplicity, and that was just acknowledgement.
Yes. You know, and you can see, what do parents do when their child is going into a lot of grief or any strong emotions? They try to distract them. Here's a lollipop, or stop that, or whatever it may be that they do. You know, different families have different ways of doing it. And so,
yeah, mine, have a cookie, you'll feel better.
Yes, stick something in their mouth. Exactly. And so we grow up with the message that strong feelings are not okay and we need to distract. And then as adults, that's, of course, it's an imprint in us. It's a pattern. It's a belief system. And so our friend is going through strong emotions, and we just do this. We go on this automatic program when, yes, all that's needed is acknowledgement and holding. Just knowing it's okay. I understand. This is completely natural, and I'm here with you. You're not alone right now.
I love that. We use "you are not alone" here on the Autoimmune Hour, because so many of us, when you're diagnosed with a chronic condition, it does feel all alone. It does feel like everything changes in that moment, which it does, but that's okay, because we're able to have the support and systems that we need to change and to grow and to optimize. I love the word optimize.
That's a great word. I love that word, optimize.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we continue to optimize. So tell us a little bit more about breath work and what you're mostly working with when you find these groups. How do we get to the groups, and what do you find is common denominator that brings people to your groups?
Well, I think one thing that really brings people to the biodynamic breath work groups is that most breathwork practices out there are focused either on heavy emotional catharsis, or it's more focused on kind of going into transcendental bliss states. There's lots of different types of breathwork, and they're great. It just depends what somebody's looking for. Biodynamic breathwork is really about developing a larger container to be with the experience in our body. It's not about huge emotional catharsis, and it's not about going into states of bliss, although that often happens. But it's about, how do we get more connected to our body and support the regulation of our nervous system and support the release and the unwinding of those tension patterns, that armoring that's held in our body. So for that reason, when people come to our groups, usually about half of them are coming just for their own personal healing. They're coming because they want to explore. They're coming because they're curious. They're coming because they feel like there's something inside of themselves they don't quite know how to get to yet, and they want some really good support and help to access those places that maybe in the past felt perhaps too edgy or too scary to go into. Many people come because they're wanting to heal from grief and loss. And then other people come because they're healers or they're coaches or they're yoga teachers, they're therapists. They come from a wide variety of healing professional backgrounds, and they want additional tools that they can incorporate into their current way of working with people. Breathwork is going through a huge renaissance right now. It's really seen that this is a practice that has been used in most traditional tribal cultures for thousands of years. And just now we're beginning to understand from a Western physiological sense how it can be used to help us heal from chronic stress and trauma. You know, we breathe in 20,000 times a day. And most of us, I don't know if I would say most of us, we breathe in 20,000 times a day. And unfortunately, many of us have stress breath patterns. Our breath is more higher up in our chest. It's maybe more constricted, more shallow. we often don't have that nice, relaxed belly breathing. If you look at a baby when they breathe, their belly's going up and down. It's soft. It's full. Their rib cage is expanding out to the side. Most of us, by the time we get to our, you know, teenage years, we've learned to suck in our gut and we've clamped down on our rib cage and we have some tightness around our heart space and our breath gets constricted and we have more of that stress breathing pattern than the full, natural, relaxed breathing pattern.
That's true. And I find that in the body language work that I do a lot, where the voice pattern changes. When you're breathing high and shallow, the voice can sound anxious, angry, other types of things. So that's a clue if your friends are saying things like, "Why are you always so angry?" Maybe they're picking up that it's very shallow breathing and stopping and taking some nice deep breaths. I like to call it 360 breathing, Prema. That reminds me, okay, breathe 360, because I want that whole belly just to be, you know, back, sides, front, everything to be expanding. Because I find I do tend to, when I get nervous, I do tend to hold and probably just breathe sort of from the mid rib cage up when I get nervous. And I find just stopping, remind myself, breathe. Nice 360 reminds me to feel it completely all around the body.
That's a great image. Yes. And people who experience chronic anxiety in their life, I've never met anybody who experiences chronic anxiety that has a relaxed, free-flowing breath pattern. I've never had anybody come in to see me with that relaxed pattern who also experiences anxiety. Depression as well. What happens when we're depressed? We sink into our body. Everything is depressed, including our breath. And when we depress our breath, what goes along with that is, you know, we're tired. We have a lack of energy. We may maybe feel more irritable or things are more fuzzy for us. The quality of our breath is so important for the quality of our life. And so in the breathwork trainings, not only are we doing the sessions, you know, and those sessions are about an hour or so, hour and a half, we're also doing other practices as well to really free up this mind-body connection that we have so we can bring more energy and more life force energy into our body.
One of the things I love about breath work is, especially in the body language work that I do, is it's so easy to correct yourself. All of a sudden, I feel like, oh, I am breathing high and shallow. Okay, stop, reset, nice deep breaths. And what amazes me is how fast the body responds just in that. Now, I know that's not trauma release to me. That's just resetting in the moment when you find yourself breathing high and rapid for whatever reason. Can you share a couple of quick tips and then share with us? I know you have some great gift for us. We're just down about the last 5 minutes, but could you share with us any little tips for resetting on the fly?
Resetting on the fly. Well, often when we're feeling stressed out, all of our attention is going inwards. We're noticing our stress, our anxiety. We have a million things running through our head, blah, 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 blah. What I suggest a nice way to reset our nervous system is to orient to our surroundings. And what I mean by that is we move our attention from being inward focused to outward focus. Look around the room that you're in. Name five things that you can see. You know, pick out five colors that you see. Pick out five shapes that you can see, five squares, five circles. Listen for five sounds. And then notice what's then happening with your breath. Automatically through that, your breath probably took a natural, deeper inhale. And if it didn't quite yet, keep looking outside yourself. Feel into the soles of your feet. Feel the connection of your feet to the ground underneath you. And then send a few slow breaths down all the way through your chest, through your belly, through your legs, to your feet. And then on your inhale, inhaling energy up from the ground, back up to your body. So on the exhale, exhaling everything down through your body, through all those meridian pathways, down to your feet and to the earth. And on your inhale, taking an easy, slow breath in from the earth, back up through your body, through that your meridian system, into a nice, relaxed mind.
Wow. That was meditative just in the explanation there. You can see how wonderfully gifted Prema is in this, because, whoa, there I just went into a moment meditative state and was like, oh, I'm not sure I want to come out right yet and have something else to say. That was awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to replay that a couple of times. So I went into a fantastic state there. Mm-hmm. You have a wonderful audio guided gift for us, which I'm so excited because as you just heard in that, what, minute or so that she guided us, can you imagine getting an entire gift of a guided practice? So please share with us.
Yes, yes. I created an audio series. It's about 40 minutes long. And it's different guided somatic practices and breath awareness exercises. And I created it just for the listeners of your show. And it's available on my website. Go there and please sign up for my monthly newsletter. And you'll be able to download or listen right from my website to these practices. And they're there to help you get more in touch with your breath and also to develop more body awareness, more felt sense awareness of what's happening in your body, as well as exercises there to unlock some of the freeze that we hold in our joints, and as well as an orientation exercise to help us come out of that stress response. And you can get that by going to my website. It's sacredinquiry.com/gift. So again, sacredinquiry.com/gift. And I hope your listeners enjoy it.
Oh, I know we will, because just during that question, which wasn't even a guided meditation per se, lost me in trance there. That was fantastic, Prema. Thank you so much for sharing. And it's, let me spell it out. It's sacredinquiry.com. We'll have that up over at understandingautoimmune.com. So you can, if you didn't have a pencil there, go ahead and just pop over to understandingautoimmune.com and you'll be able to see Prema, as well as you'll have access to the audio, the video, as well as the transcript. Can you imagine reading what she just said and being able to share it with others through not only the audio, but a transcript, and finding your favorite quotes from what she shared with us in this hour? This has just been awesome. Thank you so much. I encourage you all to visit her website, get a deeper understanding of the amazing power of breathwork and the biodynamic breathwork that she does. I hope that's the right pronunciation of that. And everyone check out her site, because I truly say my experience with her was transformational. Everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another brand new episode. And if you have an idea for a guest, drop me a quick note, understandingautoimmune.com/contact us. Always awesome to find out the things you're wanting to know as well. Everyone, enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com www.lifeisworthmore.org/radiogift.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.